saying, I'll soon warm us up.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, please bless us now, Lord, as we take this little bit of time to sing your praises, Lord, and to read your word and to have a wee bit of fellowship on one thing and another. Lord, please be with Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, with Pat and Steve and John, and don't forget William and Rachel at this time and their family, Lord, and Christine and Mary Ann, their brethren, Lord, our loved ones that know you and don't know you, Lord. Please, I pray, you take and work in the hearts and minds of all of those around about us, Lord. Please be one of our number. Please, Lord, I pray you continue to work in and around Israel and give them victory after victory. And bless all those that bless her, Lord, and curse all those that curse her. And Father, I pray that you would hinder evil and those that worship it and pursue it at every turn, Father. And bless those, Lord, that love you and want you with all their lives. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, and the free gift of everlasting life. And I pray, O Lord, that we would never be found wanting when it's our turn to point folks to the foot of the cross. We love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask all these things, please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus to begin with. I think that's in the big book. What a Friend We Have in Jesus is 355. Not only am I, I'm going to have to get my other CNI glasses on me too. 355, in an effort to warm certain members of the congregation up, we'll stand as we sing and to stop others from drifting off. 355 in the big book, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Amen.
Bye.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much indeed. If you'd like to switch books, it's one we haven't sung for a bit. Number 7, we plough the fields and scatter. This is supposed to be Harvest Sunday, isn't it? Does plough the fields and scatter, is that more like spring? But I haven't sung this one for a while. It's a bit old one. We plough the fields and scatter. Amen. Just to make it joyful. Do we need to stand again, or are we all warm enough? Or
warmer up there.
Well, you can remain seated then. I'll stand for everyone.
For I would that ye knew that great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised in the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And ye being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body of joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honour of the satisfying of the flesh. Amen. Yeah.
I want to remind everybody of the latest prayer list, October the 13th to the 20th. It's a slightly beige, yellowy colour. I take it that's probably in honour of the colour of my face. Where I was in hospital getting the blood test. Amen. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to this prayer list? Are there any extras, anything new, anything that would need to be taken off? Anybody got anything? That's good. Don't forget to pray for Dr. Shang and Ling as they return from London. They have been over at, I think it's a Chinese doctors conference, and visiting their visiting your wee fella, Frank, who's now a big fella, Frank. So please do remember that. Do continue to pray for Edith as they well, as she tries to get to the bottom of her health issues, and I do pray for John and all the rest of the folks, and take every opportunity that you can to speak to souls about their souls. Please do continue to pray for the Roylands and the Barr family. And they lost a father and a grandfather about a fortnight ago. And please do pray for them as well. Anybody any private prayer requests? Okay. Good. The Lord knows what those are. We don't need details. The Lord knows. Please do remember those. Anybody got any thanks? Me?
Yes. And the speed for the ambulatory care unit at the hospital.
It really all depends how you phrase that.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful that I might get Mark cut with a scalpel again. I hope it doesn't come to that. But yeah, we got, as you all know, I took a faint actually just about a fortnight ago. It took a few days to come around from that. Ended up in the doctors doing blood tests, which showed nothing. And it was quite funny to speak to the receptionist, very chirpy. "Mr. Bradfield, we have good news. All of your blood tests have come back okay." I said, "Well, why do I feel so awful?" So I've got another appointment. I'm in on Wednesday at 3:15 for an ultrasound and then a consultation. I'm not sure what church is going to be like. Timing wise on Wednesday, but I will let you guys know. So appreciate your prayers there. Feeling grand. I know there's something still not quite right where I had that my lower abdomen. I don't know what it is. The doctor's not sure but has an idea. So hopefully we'll know more on Wednesday. But feeling much better. Do please pray as well for there was a demonstration yesterday that took place in Belfast, was at the City Hall, regarding the introduction of new laws into the country that would give the World Health Organization overarching, in quotes, emergency powers to control whether or not you have any decision making in the taking of vaccines, in quotes. When I say vaccines, I mean experimental, untested injections in the future. And the only problem with that is that they could call anything an emergency and take control of any participating country. I don't think Russia is in on it, and I don't think China is in on it for some reason. Many of the Muslim countries in the world are not in it. It just seems to be the Western world. Please do pray about that. The EU, Britain seceded from the EU a couple of years back because they were going to be doing exactly the same thing to Britain. Literally have German troops walking on the streets. What they couldn't do with the sword, they tried to do with the pen. So please do pray for our country. Do pray for America at this time as they wind up to probably one of the most important elections that the world has ever seen. It will have far-reaching effects here and everywhere across the world. So please do pray for the Trump family and all those that are involved in getting a different political party into office, and pray that they are as good as their word. Please do pray for our own government, Keir Starmer, the so-called saviour of Great Britain, has been found with his hands in so many cookie jars. He must be like an octopus. He's getting money from here, there, and everywhere, not declaring it. His staff are rotten and corrupt to the core, and yet we are supposed to be happy with a man like this running the country. Please do pray for a suitable replacement. Can't think of anything else. Continue to pray for Israel. The Lord says that we should, and we really do. We should obey what God says. And watch the news and see them win. There's only one time since Israel is restored again, that Israel will ever be beaten, and that is when the Antichrist sets himself up to be worshipped in Israel in the Temple Mount, and God commands the Jews to run for the hills. That's the only defeat that Israel is ever going to suffer again. And after that, every time the world comes against Israel, Israel's going to win because God will be there. So please do pray for Israel. Even though countries survive, individuals lose their lives. So please do pray for people. And of course, pray for the people that are on the front in Ukraine and Russia, fighting wars, so that other people can sit by fires and drink brandy and smoke cigars. Please do pray for the young people on the fronts. Amen. I think that's about that. And Will, you okay to lead us in a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song too. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank this day, Lord. Thanks for the Sabbath that we can rest and recharge and learn more about the end of summer. Holy Spirit, Lord, and Lord, and for directing our lives, Lord, I pray for reminiscence, Lord, for to hear about your love, Lord. For us, as we are in the service, Lord, we have all those that are in Christ-centered churches, right, staff, right, as well, Lord. Take us rightly, restore the backs of them, Lord, and strengthen the Christian believer in you as well, Lord. We have absent God, with Frank and Dr. Shai, and then, Lord, keep them safe and well as in London, and we're from as they journey back home as well, Lord. Keep them safe and well, Lord. Also, with Paul, Mary, as well, from any trouble. Help them mighty heart, Lord, protect them, Lord, and keep them safe as well, Lord. Lord, Stephen, John, Lord, say them mighty powerfully, as only you can say. Also, we have Steve bring back to church as well, Lord, and we have to keep as well, Lord. We have Pat and our partner, Lord, help mighty powerfully, Lord, Stephen, these have permissions as well. Also, we have John, and keep them safe and well, Lord, and bring back to church. Give them the timetables, prayer on Sundays that we come to church, Lord. Save souls, save mighty parties, Lord. Also, pray for our landlord and pray for our world, our leaders, Lord. You might save them mighty powerfully, and that they might install Christian and godly laws, Lord, and reform to the evil laws surrounding homosexuality, abortion, child euthanasia, and euthanasia, and drugs, and Lord, every bad habit, every bad sin, Lord. You might reform those laws, Lord. Lord, instill in us and give us a peaceful life, Lord, with all the means so that we can share our faith with those our lost, Lord. Say so many powerful as well, Lord. Give our responsibility to the gospel, Lord. And Lord, make our hearts receptive to you. And Lord, guide us and direct us throughout the word today, Lord. Give us the gifts and bless our families as well, Lord. And give us the gifts for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. That's take our hymn books again. Take the big ones this time. And we'll turn to 136. 136 is Master the Tempest is Raging. I haven't sung this one for a bit. This is one of our almost new stroke experimental ones. But it's a good hymn. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. Master the Tempest is Raging.
No.
232 in the big book. It's one called Tell Me the Story of Jesus. I haven't sung it for a bit. It's not a good old hymn. It's about a little girl called Fanny Crosby who was blind, and yet, for all her limitations, she penned hymns that are sung right the way across the world, I am sure, every single day. And people love them. Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Amen. We'll remain singing.
Tell me the story of Jesus, blind.
it was, but I think it's the doors. Thank goodness. I don't know if any of you heard the rain rattling off the windows the last day or two. I tell you what, days like that, it's good to have the fire lit and to be sitting there in the heat. We're reading in Matthew chapter 9 this morning. We appreciate the reading in Colossians. Colossians is an excellent portion of God's word. In fact, it's all good, and it's all worth a read at some point or other. It's helpful in so many different parts of our lives. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read about 18 verses. 18 verses. Matthew chapter 9, and the title for the message is, We Need God. We Need God. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, if you're all there, then we'll begin. And he, that's Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your thoughts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose, and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marvelled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus saith unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put the new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Amen. We'll stop him there. We're taking those last two or three verses of Scripture as our text. The title for the message is, We Need God. And if there was ever a day in the whole history of mankind where people need God, it's today. It's today. Let's bow our heads and pray. A quick prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for the Bible readings, for the opportunity just to sing your praises, Lord, and thank you for it. Please bless this time around your word. And Norman's reading the Colossians as well, Lord. Let those verses, Lord, just feed our spirits, Lord. And give us a different perspective on life rather than the one that's been forced upon us in so many different directions, Lord. Help us always to consider. We love you and thank you, Lord. Please be with our absent brethren. Please be with our brothers and sisters across the world. And we thank especially to Brother Ed and Sister Joan at this time. And we love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. I am sure we have all read this portion of God's Word before. Everybody's heard about the cutting up the old garment or putting the new wine into old bottles and this, that, and the other. and the bottle's being spilled. But it's not a lesson on husbandry, and it's not a lesson on, I was going to say carpentry, but nobody uses hammers and nails to fix their clothes. What do you call that? Haberdashery? Is that it? Get the idea anyway. It's a lesson on lessons. It's a lesson on the teachings of God. But we'll come to that in just a minute. The title for the message is We Need God. And as we read through, they say that the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, the book of Mark is the book of Christ the servant, because it's like about 12 chapters long, and it's all about the things that Jesus did. And it seems to be quite literally, every time the Lord turned around, or he finished helping one person, there was somebody else who was there needing his help. And we see that even here. We see that at the beginning of chapter 9, the Lord has just come back. He has come back from healing the maniac of Gadara, or one of the maniacs of Gadara. And he's just landed back. And as soon as he gets there, there's a couple of folks, maybe four folks, have brought a man sick of a palsy and presented him to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. But more than that, he says, your sins are forgiven. And as the scribes and the Pharisees said from time to time, who can forgive sins but God only? And he said, well, just so that you know, he says, arise, take up your bed and walk, your sins are forgiven. In other words, saying, I am God. But he said that every day. We know that he said that every day whenever he spoke to people. Even just a couple of words were enough to change people's hearts towards him. But he spoke to Matthew and said, Matthew, I want you to follow me. And Matthew was a tax collector. He was probably one hated more than the Romans, because the Romans appointed one of their own to take their money and pay it to Caesar. I'm sure he wasn't a popular guy, but God called him. He was still a Jew. And I am sure Matthew was surely sick, sore, and tired of being in that position. And he was quite happy to get up and leave with the Lord. And then the next thing we come across is the Lord sitting down to eat. And it was always a thing. The Jews were not supposed to eat with anybody else. The Jews just ate with the Jews. But even more so, that Jewish people wouldn't eat with sinners or publicans. Literally everybody should have been sitting by themselves, eating by themselves, because technically we're all sinners. But these were all people that annoyed the life out of them. Publicans, sinners, tax collectors, maybe drunkards, fornicators, adulterers. Might even have been a murderer, a man with a bag. We all know the story, don't we? Jesus said, people that are well don't need a physician. People that are sick need a physician. It is people that are lost that need to hear the gospel. It is great to have fellowship with the brethren. I love having a cup of tea with the brethren. And we can talk about things. It doesn't have to be deep things, but we can talk about things knowing that we're coming from the same direction. But sometimes you find yourself in a company of lost people and you know, there's a great opportunity to tell people about Jesus. And that's exactly what he did. These people need to hear the gospel. As he goes on, that doesn't mean that they evangelize you, which happens a lot of times. That means you evangelize them. You don't subscribe to their beliefs, but you try and show them where your beliefs are greater. And then we have the disciples of John come to Jesus, and bear in mind, these are men and women even that have been left without a leader. John the Baptist has been executed. And there's still some of the people that followed him, and they're asking, why do we fast? And why do we pray? And why do the Pharisees do that? But the people that follow you, they're not fasting and praying. And the Lord says, there will come a time, but here, I'm here now. I'm doing miracles. I'm preaching the gospel. I am ministering to anybody that comes to me, and I'll never turn anybody away. Why would they fast and mourn now? They're rejoicing, they're glad. But there will come a time whenever they are sad. And then this brings us to the three verses that are our text this morning, which says, "No man putteth a piece of a new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." In other words, you can't patch an old life with the gospel. You can't fix a drunkard's problem. Sorry, let me put that another way. It's not with the gospel, it's with the teachings of God will not fix your life. It is the salvation of God that will fix your life. Let me give you an example. You can't say to an alcoholic, "The Bible says that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. You need to stop drinking." He knows he needs to stop drinking most times. I'm sure he feels sick about it once he's got a skin full of drink and he bemoans his fate and the state of his body or the state of his home. But the only thing that's going to change that man is for him to be a changed man, to be a new creature in Christ, to get saved. That is what fixes a person. Not telling them what God says, but showing them the foot of the cross. Telling them they need to get saved. You can't be straightened up enough for God to accept you. You need to be saved. And then God will straighten you up, if you let him. And that's the long and short of it. All that will do is show the old life to be in very bad shape. Says the rent taketh from the garment, the new cloth sewn on to fill a patch in an old garment will make the old garment look old. It's a little bit like painting walls. Walls look grand, they might look a little bit dull and grey, but as soon as you put one lick of paint on a wall, it stands out like a sore thumb and makes all of the rest of the walls look awful. And you have to paint the whole wall. You have to make them all new. That's what God comes to. And the next little parable, if you like, is where the Lord said, "Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break." And really what he was talking about there was wineskins. He used to use wineskins. There weren't a whole pile of glass bottles on the go back in the day. And so they would use, for new wine, they would put it into a new wineskin, so that there was a bit of life and a bit of stretch in it. And so as there was a wee bit of fermenting or a few gases given off by the wine, the bottle would stretch. But if you put it in an old bottle, and had done all of its stretching already, the gases that escaped the wine would cause the bottle to tear. And then you couldn't use the bottle for anything anymore, and the wine was spilled and ruined. And that is pretty much saying the same thing, is that the teachings, or a step after what he said, the teachings of God can only be accepted by someone with the power of God to live them. I hope you understand that. The teachings of God can only be lived by a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. And if you don't have the teachings and indeed the power of God in your life, you will be forever looking to the things of this world for your hope, for your support. But sometimes God asks you to do things that go directly against all the teachings of the world. God, for instance, God says if you want to go up, you need to go down. If you want to advance on in life, if you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to learn, you need to get down on your hands and knees and humble yourself in the sight of God, and in due time He'll lift you up. If you want to get stuff, or to gather, you need to give. You need to show that you're not beholden to stuff, and that God can trust you with stuff. You need to be faithful in your giving, and even beyond. Just a few thoughts. And I got to thinking about that because there's a lot of stories going on out and about in the world. Oh, this is what's best for you. Oh, no, this is what's best for you. Like O2. If you ever watch any of the big billboards, has anybody seen the ads for the latest iPhone? Is it the iPhone 16? I'm going to go out on a limb here and hazard a guess that the iPhone 16 costs about 1,500 or 1,600 quid. I can honestly say by the time I die, every phone that my wife and I will ever have will have cost about 1,500 or 1,600 pounds, and we will probably have money left over. So, I want to give you an idea, that's where I'm coming from. But O2 will tell you, because this phone has got AI in it. This phone has got AI in it, and it's going to make your life so much easier. Because the artificial intelligence on the phone will take place of the real intelligence that you should have packed between your ears. And your life will get easier. And I did see Elon Musk. Did you see his new Tesla phone? That's been promoted again. And he's got a new robot. And somebody was taking a hand out of Elon Musk. And he showed this row of completely self-contained robots walking into a big demonstration that he was running. I think it might have been a fella called Benny Johnson. But every clip of Elon Musk's robots showed you the T-800s from Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator walking along with the guns shooting all the people. Anyway, they will make your life so much better. They're only about $30,000 each. And everybody should have one. Well, I'm all for the having one. It's just the $30,000 that's a bit of a going to cramp my aspirations a little bit. But they'll be able to lift your shopping in, and they'll be able to pour you a cup of water, and they'll be able to walk the dog or do something and talk with you, and life will be great. Or Tesco's, if you shop with Tesco's, life will be great because you'll save money. Or if you buy a Ford, it'll be the best car you'll ever drive and you'll never need another one. It'll be perfect. This is what you need. We even have churches telling us, just do the best you can. Pretty much, there's only two religions in the world, friend. There's the dumb religion, which is the one that Christ finished 2,000 years ago on the cross. And then there's the do religion. The done religion depends 100% on Jesus Christ for salvation. The do religion depends on you. You need to be doing the best you can constantly to make sure that you might have a chance of possibly, maybe, convincing God to let you into heaven if you ever stand in front of him when you die. Only two religions. That is why you will find that just about every other religion in the world can walk hand in hand down the aisle with every other religion except Bible-believing Christianity. Because they're either do or don't. Now, unlike a shopping trolley or a new phone or even a new car, which will be forgotten about or used up in a period of, well, weeks or years, depending on what you buy, and forgotten about until you need the next one. What you and I believe in our hearts is going to stick with us for the rest of eternity. Not just the rest of our lives, but the rest of eternity. So before you know what's wrong, you really need to know what's right. You're in church, Bethel Baptist Church, Bible-believing church. We're reading from the King James Bible. I am saying to you, the King James Bible is the Word of God in the 21st century, and it's the same as the Word of God from 400 years ago in the 16th century. And it's the same as the, what do you call those things that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The same as the Dead Sea Scrolls that were dug up, I don't know how many hundreds or from thousands of years ago. It's exactly the same. There's maybe a word or two different, but we're not talking doctrinal differences, we're talking the occasional word. And about 200-300 years ago, whenever England, or should we call it Great Britain back in the day, whenever they followed the teachings of God, whenever they stopped for church on a Sunday, and people got saved, being saved and knowing the Bible was the most important thing in the world, Great Britain was great. It had the best navy in the world, it had the best armies in the world. They were unbeatable in every sphere of battle. They used to send missionaries out to every corner of the world. And people got saved. They acquired lands all over the world. They changed the face of the world for the better. A lot of people don't know, but England went and conquered all of those countries. England's legacy to the likes of Africa and India has done nothing but good for them. It was whenever they kicked out England and all of their culture and custom, their Christianity, that things actually started to go bad for those countries. I have seen people in church that have read their Bibles, that have said their prayers. I have seen them live good, honest lives. I have felt the Spirit in their houses when they have walked and talked with the Lord. I have seen their children raised up knowing more about the books of the Bible than they did about Pokemon or whatever else it is that kids follow. Magic the Gathering or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever it is. And I have also seen what happens when those people depart from the Bible, when the Word of God is removed from their lives, when parents will split and shack up with somebody else, when children will depart from church and never return, when people start to smoke and drink things that would have been anathema to them, when they walked and talked with God, when their families were, but when they departed from God, the power of God departed from them. We need that. Not just broken families need it. We need it. It's not a case of fixing it when it's wrong. It's a case of keeping it going whenever it's right. And yet so many churches say that what you preach is wrong. Oh, we don't need that salvation. That's the very thing that we need. Just, they say, no, do the best you can. Attend church regularly. Treat people right. Be faithful and honest. And God will weigh your good deeds against your bad deeds, and he'll let you into heaven. And all of those statements are absolutely correct, except for the last one. We should do the best we can, and we should attend church, and we should treat people right, and we should be faithful and honest. Because we're going to heaven, not to get to heaven. Because if we are depending on our deeds to get us to heaven, we're going to be stuck because our deeds depend upon us, upon our strength, upon our vitality, upon our having our wits about us, upon the money that we have in the bank, upon everything that we can lay our hands upon. And it's great when everything's good, when our health is good, when our finances are good, when the people are slapping us in the back and we're successful. What about when it's not? And it's not an if. It's not going to be good. It's a when it's not going to be good. What about when things go wrong? What about when we lose stuff? What about when we lose people? What about when people start telling stories about you and stabbing you in the back? What do you do then? You have come to the end of your power. For the lost soul, for the soul that doesn't know God as Savior, when the best that they can do, quite literally, is less than the worst that is being done to you, what do you do? Where do you go? How do you help? I've seen folks, lost folks, And it's awful to visit them at funerals. It is truly heartbreaking to know that the tears that people cry at a funeral and the farewells that they make are forever. It's not a case of you and I as children of the King of Kings saying, look, I'm going to miss you for a while and I really do feel bad, but I know I'm going to see you again. That is the promise of God, that we will be reunited not just with loved ones, but with God Almighty. But lost souls come to the end of themselves. All they have is a great void, a darkness, an unknown, fear. Nowhere to turn to. Nothing to fill that gap. Even this Bible that the Bible-believing Christians hold to, and we read and we can understand, and give us a little bit of comfort, even when there's nobody there, God is talking to you. Lost souls don't have that. It's just a book of morality tales. And it means nothing to a lost soul. We were never meant to live that way, friends. We were never meant to experience that soul-sucking loss with no hope. We were never meant to have that. We were meant, from the very beginning, to walk and talk with God all the time. In the cool of the evening, it says whenever Adam and Eve used to walk and talk, they were busy maybe doing the things they needed to do during the day, picking bananas and pineapples and grapes, and not chopping apples. I'm joking about that. It was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Who knows what it was, but we were meant to walk and talk with God. We were meant to have the arm of God around us, or maybe the arm of God underneath us holding us up. We were meant to have the words of wisdom. As what was Peter said to Jesus? Where else are we going to go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We're meant to have those. Living without God destroys people, ruins them. Living with God is a whole different story. Whenever you repent of your sins, and you need to, and whenever you trust in Christ as your Savior, and we really do need to, when we admit that we have come to the end of ourselves and we're falling far short of something, and we come to God, and we say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know you can. Because you saved a whole bunch of people before me. But would you please save me? I hate the way things are. Please save me. And the Lord promised in the book, and has demonstrated in the lives of many Christians ever since, that he will never turn that person away. All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, and he'll never cast you out. And whenever you do come to the end of yourself, then, as a Christian, you're not stepping off into space. I think it was Voltaire or some great some great philosopher said, as he was about to die, he says, I'm taking a fearful leap into the dark. For the Christian, we are taking a small step into the hands of the God that gave us life from the cross of Calvary to us, and was going to take us home. More than that, he's just not going to cosset us up like that. He's going to make us indestructible. He's going to give us robes of righteousness. We'll be sustained by God Almighty himself. We should, yes, it would be exciting. Maybe a bit of trepidation. But there will be none of the soul-sucking fear that a lost soul has whenever they're alive, whenever they come to the end of themselves. They have to say, well, do you know what, Lord? I have no idea what's going on, Lord. Would you please help me? Because we can do that. We need that because there are so many things beyond our reach That wall is beyond my reach, unless my feet take me over to it. And like so many things in our lives are beyond our reach, unless God takes us to them. We need that. Whenever you do get saved, the Lord says, just like the Lord said to Noah, you'd be pitched within and without. He said, pitch the ark on the outside, and that'll keep the waters from getting in. But he said, pitch the ark on the inside, and that'll keep whatever waters are on the inside from rotting the wood from the inside out. So it's pitched from without, it's pitched from within. And the Lord said in John 10, I will keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out. He said, my Father, which is greater than all, he will keep you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, pitched without. And if you were to look inside, you would see the Holy Spirit indwelling you and me, pitched within as well, protecting us even from our stupid selves. We need that. And so many people are living without that. You have to repent of your sins first. And then the very being of God will take up residence in your heart, your mind, whatever you want to call it. And he will be your constant friend, companion, guide, and helper. He will be the one to comfort you. He will be the one to pass on portions of wisdom to you. He will be the one to say, look, instead of going that way, because that's like a minefield, why don't you be circumspect and go around it and miss that minefield in life? We will literally have the very power of God there for us when we need it. And as the Lord said when you ask for it properly, does anyone remember the verses? You have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss to consume it upon your lusts. And I used to wonder why God never gave me a Ferrari, Testarossa, to park in the managing director's car park in Desmond's. And the answer is in the question, why, Lord, can I not get a Ferrari Testarossa to park in the MD's parking space? And God said, the answer is in the question, Mark, because it's the MD's parking space and they'd only be doing it for devilment, and that's not the right way anyway. There are so many things. You know the number of things that need to be spoken against in this world? There's a whole bunch of stuff. Abortion needs to be contended with. This sexualization of our little children needs to be opposed. This thing that the World Health Organization is trying to enforce upon us, that they can take control of member countries whenever there's a pandemic. I can guarantee you there'll be a pandemic every year to keep everybody under the umbrella corporation of the umbrella of the World Health Organization. People need to say, hold on a second, we're not doing that. You've just lied to us for 4 years. Thousands and tens of thousands of people have lost their lives, they've lost children, their health has been ruined forever because we listened to you the last time. We're not listening to you. And that takes something. When the rest of the world depends on you and me for likes and their mates, oh, we like you, we're with you. So they won't speak out of turn. In case their Facebook privileges get knocked in the head, or their YouTube privileges get knocked in the head, or X or whatever. People are afraid to say anything because they'll become unpopular. The Christian can stand and speak because he only has to keep himself right with God. And it is a badge of honor to stand up against what's wrong. And for all of that, the Lord will give you the wherewithal to stand and speak up. And the Lord will comfort you when you lose friendships, whenever you lose loved ones. And the Lord will be with you whenever the world, the flesh, and the devil takes everything that it can from you. And the Lord will comfort you and encourage you with his promises and the fulfillment of them, with his prophecies and the fulfillment of them, with the friend that sticketh closer than the brother, with coincidences that seem to happen just when you need them. Goodness, with even the Beatitudes that we looked at there not that very long ago, all of the things that God has for his children, he has that's for you and me. He always has an open ear. We can talk to him about stuff. Sometimes it's the best conversation you'll ever have in a week. You're not talking to yourself, you're talking to God. With all of the scriptures that he has ever put your way rattling around in your head, he'd send the angels to minister to you. Jesus Christ, even now, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you, making sure that the things that you do wrong in this world do not come back to haunt you in this world. Whenever the accuser of the brethren points his finger. And these things are for right now. And there is coming a day, the Bible says, and it could be here a lot quicker than a lot of people think, that the Lord's coming back in the air. And with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, and the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever and ever. We'll never be parted from him ever again. Could be here a lot quicker than we think. And then back again for 1,000 years. To rule and reign as priests, kings and priests, for the God that saved their souls and for all the things that he asked us to do. Goodness, that's hardly worth thinking about. A lot of people think, well, sounds like there's some positives to that. You need to know that a lot of the things that the world, the flesh and the devil keep pumping at us through the internet and the TV and the magazines and the films and all of that stuff there, they make much of the basest things in society. Oh, it's great to be drinking. It's not great to be drinking. It's one of the worst things you could do. People that used to drink the way they drink today, the way young people drink today, were pariahs in society. Oh, it's great to be able to sleep around the country. It's not. When we were reading about the woman at the well, she was a pariah. None of the other women would have anything to do with her because she was a sexually immoral person. It's great to be able to beat the tar out of people. It's not. Violent people like that ended up living in tombs. Ones that couldn't be controlled, cutting themselves with stones and crying all the time. Oh, I don't want to be a homemaker and stay at home mom. How are our children going to be raised? Let me give you a for real bit of information. I was raised up in the public schools. I'm sure all of us were. And I had a good time. I wasn't crazy. Too much. I used to make a fortune selling pirated computer games in the Portadown College. It cost me £20 a pop, and I would copy them onto a disc with a little bit of jiggery pokery and sell them for £10 each and get all my money back on them. Buy them in Belfast, sell them in Portadown, I'm your original computer entrepreneur. I never got as big as Amazon, but there you go. I got up to Dublin. I got up to mischief. My attendance record was spot on. I always attended school. I always did my homework. But I had a bit of fun in the meantime as well. And most folks didn't get up to too much bother. There were one or two teachers that weren't up to the job and they had a bit of difficulty controlling their classes. But generally speaking, it looked pretty well. Every year that I was at school, except university, there was an assembly and there was hymns sung and there was a wee Bible reading and the announcements and then a hymn and a prayer and everybody went to their class and everyone was reminded that there is a God that's watching. It's great stuff. Rolled forward about 20 years And I'm finding that the teachers are the ones that are out drinking. The teachers are the ones that are having abortions, along with all of their mates, because they've been out carrying on. And then they're coming into schools, and the people that drink, and the people that murder their babies, and the people that spend their nights in strangers' beds, are the ones that are tasked with raising their children, and we wonder why our children are going to hell. We wonder why the teachers complain about the Bible lesson and singing the hymns. It's because their consciences are pricked. Friends, we need God. And we don't just need him in society. We need him in each and all of our lives. I put a few notes down because a lot of times my messages, I think of things coming to the end of the messages. It's a little bit from the Beatitude, but it's something to think about. Why are we going to tell people to get their lives right until we get our lives right? There's no right or life in living for Jesus. How are we going to tell people, oh, this is what they need to do? We have no idea what to do ourselves. We need to be saved. How are we going to keep going on unless we have something great to go on to? Like a heaven. Why keep going? Because I've got heaven to go to and I'm going to be speaking to God about it someday. How can we tell other people about the power of God and all the things that God can do for us until we've experienced it in our own lives, until we've invited God in and left space for him to operate? In the words of the model prayer, how can we forgive people until we've been forgiven by God? How do we even know what it's like and what it means to someone? How can we have peace in our lives and show and tell other people is what they need until we have peace with God? It's just a few thoughts. I just wanted to finish with those. But we really do need the power of God and the wisdom and the word of God. As Paul said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, folks, for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate that. We'll sing a song. Does anybody have a hymn that yes? we're not doing favourites, but a lot of times I ignore Monica.
30 goes with the message.
30.
30
in the black book. We have our continuity manager at the front, keeping things. I need Jesus. That'll do. Number 30 in the lead black book.
We'll do 13 tonight.
What did you say? 13 in the black book.
I can wait.
I'll put a thing in the end. Guy the old guy, great Jehovah. That's another good one as well. All right. I need Jesus. Hymn number 30. Let's stand and sing this closing hymn, and then we'll be dismissed with a wee prayer.
I
Lord, help us to understand that we really do need you every day, and sometimes every moment of every day. Please bless each one of us. Please, Lord, walk with us. Put your hand upon each one of us and give us portions of wisdom and boldness and strength and peace and comfort. Everything we need, Lord, our daily bread. We love you and thank you. Pray for our brothers and sisters across the world, especially Tim McVeigh and John Asquith and Phil and Natalie Seeley, Ed and Joan Bissett, Lord. Folks up in Bangor, Lord, our brethren, wherever they might be, I pray that your time in your house would have been a blessing and a help to each one. We love you and thank you. We leave these things at your feet, Father. Please grant them, I pray, according to your will. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Keep hands in fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.